Today we gather to commemorate Jesus Christ's death, the day that he was arrested and tried and found not guilty, but was still put to death. Now this day he made no case against himself. He never argued. He allowed himself to be put to death. He allowed himself to be punished for no wrongdoing on his part. He allowed himself to suffer shame and hate and disgust by other men, and he allowed himself to be the bearer of the wrath of God. And he did all of this for mankind. And before Jesus carried his cross through the streets of Jerusalem, he asked all of those who would follow him to carry their own cross. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, we're going to look at this passage, a small passage, to see what Jesus is doing here and what he's asking. Jesus here, he's gathered with his disciples and many of his different followers, and he paints a vivid picture of not just a request, but something to really actively do, not just something to think about. Not just something to put on the shelf for a rainy day, but something to be doing now in our lives. Look with me at Mark chapter 8, starting with verse 34. It says, "When Jesus had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.'" Now consider with me for a moment Jesus' illustration of the cross. Because Jesus knew that he would die, and he knew that it would be on a Roman cross. Now this is not some mere coincidence. Jesus came to this earth to sacrifice his life to better help us understand God and how to live a godly life. Now, he also came purposely to take the penalty of our sins through death on the cross. Jesus' words are chosen precisely. Now, let's take a few minutes and consider what Jesus is asking of those who would follow him. Let's begin again in verse 34. Again, it says, "When Jesus had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after me.'" All right, let's start right there. Whoever desires to follow Jesus. Now, Jesus is giving a prescribed way to follow him. And I think that this is one vitally important takeaway, because there are so many people and even religions today that suggests that you can follow Jesus any way that you want. You can worship Jesus any way that you want. You can live for Jesus any way that you want. But what does the Bible say? God gives us so many specific ways to love and honor him, specific ways to live for him, specific ways to worship him, specific ways to honor him, specific ways to love him. And it's important that we follow the prescribed ways. God gave us a manual, in a sense, through his word, to help us understand how to follow him. And we need to learn to love him in the manner that he prescribes. Now, even more than that, Jesus identifies here that if you want to have that relationship with him, you must deny yourself. You must take up your cross and follow him. And Jesus is showing us that if we want salvation, if we want to have Jesus's forgiveness of our sin, we have to go about it Jesus's way. There is no other way than Jesus's way. Just like how there is no other way to heaven than Jesus's way. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So what is the way to Jesus? Well, let's consider what Jesus gives us here in verse 34. Again, he says, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself. All right, so deny himself. Deny. What are we to deny? Is there a list or something? Is this just giving up things for Lent? Now, the text here says deny himself. Now, this is an entire lifestyle change. Jesus is not suggesting to give up a thing or an object. He is suggesting to give up your way of thinking. Life is not about satisfying yourself if you are to follow Christ, because denying yourself for the sake of Jesus is to give up yourself completely to Jesus and let his desires shape your desires. Jesus' desires are those that we see as we study his life and throughout the New Testament. Jesus said it plainly in Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And Jesus also said in John 13, 34 through 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, denying ourselves is putting Jesus Christ first in our lives and allowing him to shape our lives. Now, there are many professing Christians today who do not live out denying themselves. They shape their lives around their wants and desires. Now, here in America today, especially, we are not very good at telling ourselves no. You know, we have so much and we enjoy so much. We have so many things just at our fingertips. We want something tomorrow, we can order it tonight and it'll arrive tomorrow. When we want something to fill our belly, it's pretty much everything is right down the street. We don't have to go very far to get anything. Anything that we want, we pretty much just go out and get. And here, we have so many things that we're just not willing to sacrifice so much for the Lord. There's many times we just feel like he's asking too much. Now, for those in Scripture who could not sacrifice for Jesus, who could not tell themselves no, they turned away and could not follow Christ. Now, Matthew chapter 19, we see a wealthy young man who desires to follow Jesus. Now, many times the Bible describes this as the rich young ruler. And we see that he has a lot of wealth. And I think what's happened here is he's gotten excited about Jesus. And we see Jesus teaching and so on. And he wants to be a part of that. And so in verse 21, Jesus tells him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Now, Jesus has used this term before, perfect. This is not perfection on earth. This is Jesus identifying that if you want to be perfected in the kingdom of heaven, you need to give up what you have here. Because having wealth here means nothing in eternity, but it's what you do with it for the Lord. Now, that reality that Jesus painted did not excite the wealthy young man. And we see his response in verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And then we don't see anything else about him in Scripture. I don't believe that he followed. I believe he went back home and was like, well, I don't want to give this up. It's just too much for God to ask me to give away my finances. And he didn't follow Jesus. He was excited about all the things that Jesus was doing. He was excited in the moment to be with him and to be with his followers. And he was caught up in all of the excitement. But when it came down to it, when Jesus asked of him to sacrifice, the sacrifice was not worth it to him. Now, we have seen over the last probably 50 or 60 years a very watered down version of Jesus's gospel being presented. An idea that you can love Jesus any way that you want, that Jesus will accept you as you are, and you don't have to make any changes to your lifestyle at all. An idea that you just have to say a short prayer and you're in a club with a free ticket to heaven. Now, sadly, that's all been said. That's what has been taught by so many churches. Give money to the church and your sins will be forgiven. Confess your sins to another man and you can be pardoned for them. But where is that written? I don't see any of these teachings in the Bible. And we see in our text today that if you want to follow Jesus, if you want your sins forgiven by Jesus, if you want to go to Jesus's heaven, the requirement is sacrifice. And let me be clear about this. It's not about being willing to sacrifice. Now, I so often hear from Christians that they are willing to sacrifice, as if they are waiting for some kind of sign from God for when they need to start. Now, Jesus is calling us not to be willing to sacrifice, but to sacrifice our very lives for him. To sacrifice our wants and our desires for his wants and desires. To change our thinking to his thinking. That is the cost for his salvation. That is the cost for following him. If we really want to be a follower of Christ, we must do so in the way that Jesus has prescribed. And we see here that it begins with denying our own wants and desires to let Jesus have control of them, to allow him to shape our wants and our desires. So again, if we desire to follow Jesus and we really want to be his disciple, we must let go of our own desires and let him shape our lives and desires. And next, Jesus tells us to take up our own cross. Now, this is very interesting that Jesus uses this example, knowing that he will himself go and die on a cross. Now, I want to clarify something. Back during this time, while Rome was in power, the Romans would crucify those who were their enemies, those who did terrible crimes, or even those that they just wanted to set an example of. Now, as you walked down the streets towards Jerusalem, you would see people hanging on crosses. And this is the worst possible way that you could die, the most agonizing and painful way to die, designed by the Romans. Everyone feared the cross. Now today, people wear jewelry with crosses on them. We put crosses on the walls for decoration. We have reminders of crosses all over the place because to us, it is a symbol of Jesus's sacrifice for our sake. But to the Jews and to those who lived in these Roman-controlled areas, the symbol of the cross meant death. And the mere mention of a cross was not hopeful. It was an idea of the end. So Jesus carried his cross for a time while he made his way through the streets of Jerusalem to the hill known as Golgotha, the hill of the skull. And Jesus identifies the need for his disciples to carry their own cross. And while Jesus was walking through those streets, he was ridiculed. He was rejected. Shame was upon him, and he suffered. Now, in taking up your cross, you identify with Jesus Christ. In identifying with him, you are not just willing, but ready to be ridiculed, ready to be rejected, ready to be shamed, and even ready to suffer for his sake. More than that, you are ready to die for his sake. Now, there are many who do not want to identify with Jesus in this way because it is uncomfortable. They wince when someone disagrees with them, even on social media. Now, if you cannot stand for Christ on social media to a world of people who don't even know you, you are not going to be able to stand for Christ face to face with an oppressor. And you are not ready to live or die for Jesus. Jesus wants us to identify with him in such a way that we would give up everything that this life has to offer in order to follow him. Can you say that about yourself? Are you preparing now to give up everything for Jesus Christ? Are you sacrificing now the blessings that Jesus has given you? Are you spending your money and your resources for the cause of Christ? Are you giving up your own wants and desires now so that Jesus can prepare you for something greater? Are you denying yourself? Are you taking up your cross? Are you following Jesus? Jesus goes on to say in verse 35, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now, the wealthy young man from Matthew chapter 19 wanted to join in on the good things happening, but he also wanted to save his own life. He wanted still to gain what he could and maybe give here and maybe give some there. But whoever desires to save his life will ultimately lose it, because all of us who are alive today will one day face death. It is inevitable. If we sink our desires into our lives, at the end, they will amount to nothing. But if we let our lives go and give them to Jesus to use as he desires, we will live again with Jesus in heaven. Look with me at verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now, there is a fact in life. You cannot purchase insurance for your car after the accident. You must prepare for what is coming before it happens. And if you do not prepare for death before it comes, you will not be prepared for what it will cost you when you leave this life. You cannot follow Jesus your own way. You must follow his way. You must submit to his way. Those who want his salvation but who are ashamed of his words will not spend eternity with him. Now, some believe that the biggest hardship to following Christ is giving up your sin and forgiving others. But you know what? That really isn't a hardship. It is a reflection of a changed heart. The only way that you will turn from your sin is if you hate it. If you hate the way it makes you feel, if you hate what it does to you, if you hate how it hurts Jesus. If you want to be free from your sin, you will desire to abandon it and instead embrace Jesus' way. Now, what is Jesus' way? Well, we are to confess Jesus as the Son of God, repent of our sins, meaning admit to them, ask Jesus to forgive them, and turn away from them. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." It's important for us to confess Jesus as the Son of God and also to repent of our sins, because if we do not repent, it's as if we are carrying our sins along with us. And we say, you know what, Lord, I know that you're God. I know that you are Jesus, the Son of God. I know for sure that you've come and died on the cross for my sins. I pray that you would forgive me and let me move forward with the sins that I have. Jesus is not going to forgive those sins because you haven't turned away from them. You haven't repented of them. Repentance is when we're going in one direction and then we realize a truth, and that truth turns us around and heads us in the other direction. It's like when we're driving down the road and we're looking at the map wrong, or our GPS is telling us to go the wrong way, and we realize, hey, wait a minute, I'm going the wrong way. We make the adjustment that we need to make and we turn around and we head in the other direction. Well, when we head in that other direction, we leave our sins behind. We say that God is more important than our sins. And thinking of the rich young ruler, in Matthew chapter 19, instead of him, he didn't leave his money behind. He went back to his money. If we are to repent, we are to leave behind what God tells us to leave behind. And we are to move forward. It's so important for us to give up our sins before turning to God. And then we are to purpose to live our lives as Jesus has taught us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." We are to deny ourselves, and take up our cross and follow Jesus. And again, in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus said, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Are you ready to take up your cross? Are you ready to deny yourself, to let Jesus be your ultimate authority in your life? We have to give up the things of this world. We have to let go of the sin that so easily besets us. We have to let go of the things that the Bible tells us to let go of, and instead take up our cross and follow Jesus. I hope that you will do that today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to come die on the cross for our sins. I thank you, Lord, that you have provided a way for us to be in heaven with you one day. I thank you that you've given us this opportunity, and I pray, Lord, that any of those hearing this message, that they would respond, that they would follow you instead of following their own wants and desires. Lord, it's the most important decision we'll ever make in life, to follow you. And we know that once we pass out of this life, that's it. That was our last chance. There's no back doors. There's no second chances after this life. We are either going to accept you as to who you are and follow you as the Bible commands, or we are not. Oh Lord, you change our lives so much. You bring us such peace and such joy. I pray, Lord, that you would help all of us to find that peace and joy through you. I pray, Lord, that you would change hearts and lives and minds through your word. And I pray, Lord God, that we would let go, that we would deny ourselves the things of this world, that we would repent of our sins, take up our cross, and follow you. Lord, help us to follow you in the way that you prescribed from your word. In your name I pray these things. Amen.